Master's Heart and Dominic Steele here, and welcome along. And we're live every Tuesday afternoon on Facebook, and you can actually ask your questions on Facebook and we'll put them directly to our guests. We're talking today to three experts on mission, and we're thinking Christmas and how to maximize the gospel impact of Christmas in your church. David Kuhn is with us from St. Paul's Carlingford, Jessica Brow from here at Village in Annandale, and Stuart Starr from Oran Park. But before we come to them, the Pastor's Heart came about because we wanted to serve Christian leaders both by encouraging and helping us with skills and insights for the task, but also creating a space to remind each other that however we might feel, we're not alone, that our Heavenly Father is at work. And if this has been of value to you, I'd encourage you to support our production so that we can continue the work that we do. There actually are four people working behind the scenes on the Pastor's Heart, filming, editing, mixing, bringing it to you. And in the new year, our funding model is changing and we need your help to cover their wages. And the way you can support us is by going to bit.ly/thepastorspatreon and signing up as a monthly contributor there. Now, to our guests, Jessica and David and Stuart, we'll come to Christmas in a minute, but first the Lord Jesus in your heart. Jessica, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Yeah, I think particularly this year, God's been, I think, deepening my love for him in lots of ways, but particularly through challenge. And something recently that just keeps coming up is, do I really believe in the power of the message of Jesus to save people? Mm-hmm. And, Corinthians 1:18, mm-hmm. you know, that message is foolishness to people who are perishing, but it is the power of God to those who are being saved. And am I prepared to look like a fool mm-hmm. with that message in front of people, or do I care more about how I look or how they think of me? Or actually, is my love for them so great that I'm willing to look foolish in front of them? But it's also been a great comfort too, because just the reminder that actually God is saving people and they do respond to that message with salvation. And that's been a really exciting thing to see. So it's been both a challenge for me about, am I more focused on how I look in front of people, or do I love them enough to want to see them saved? But also, yeah, just God's goodness in that he does keep saving people with that message. And I want to keep holding that out, not just the things that are comfortable and warm.
What about you, Dave?
So we've been working our way through Matthew's gospel over the last little while, and we've just come the last few weeks to that famous sort of passage where Jesus looks at the crowds and sees them through the lens of compassion as harassed and helpless sheep without a shepherd. And it's a challenge, I guess, for me in terms of what is the lens by which I see people and view their rebellion against God, rather than see it as moral outrage or disgust, but to see them as people who are in desperate need of compassion, and then to see, I guess, where's my harvest field, and see myself as a worker. And expect the opposition that will come from it. It's been a real challenge for me. I guess as I've looked at people and as I've looked at mission across our church, that's something that God keeps impressing on me in terms of what's the lens by which I'm looking at the people around me working hard to see that compassion through them. Yeah.
The Lord Jesus in your heart, Stuart.
Well, at New Life, we're just working through our vision series. We've sort of just come to the end of that. We've been thinking, it's been on my heart thinking, what am I doing as I call people to commit their time and their talents and their treasure to God, and thinking about all the competing interests that come back the other way, and thinking, you know, actually, you know, we're going to try and put what we're calling prayer squares as another thing into the life of our church, and just thinking, who would choose to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And as I ask people to consider that, thinking, you know, I'm talking to a dad who's saying, you know, my sons are out, they're in year two and year four, and they're out to soccer 5 nights a week. Mm. Right? And I'm thinking, these other things in life have all these claims on people's time. And here am I, a minister of the gospel, and what I'm going to do is ask people, hey, would you make a sacrifice for Jesus? Can you fit this in? And I can almost anticipate people saying back, oh, you know, we couldn't. But I'm watching our people being really generous in all those three areas in response. And I guess I'm just tremendously encouraged at the moment. seeing people choose against the culture to say, yeah, Jesus, you know what? We're gonna put it all in for the kingdom. So I'm actually really encouraged at the moment at the response, the generous response of God's people to that sort of challenge. So, yeah.
Stuart, let's stay with you. And new church, relatively new church, I don't know if we can call you brand new at the moment. But
we're 8 years old.
You planted a church, you had no tradition, and you got to think from ground up, what are we going to do at Christmas? And so what from ground, as you think about first principles in Christmas, what are they?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question. And one of the things that I guess we want to get across as we have this discussion is to say to everyone, you've got to think about your situation. So in our case, it was our first Christmas. We had a church with, I think we might have had 20 people, including kids, right? We're in a brand new suburb, which is literally being, you know, cow pastures being turned into houses. And we're going, all right, well, what do we do? And my first thought was, we want to own Christmas here. We want Christmas in this new suburb to be connected to Jesus in our suburb. And so we said, first year, we're going to run carols in Oran Park. No one else is doing it, and because there isn't anyone else here like this. You know, it's 200 houses at this point, right? And I said, right from the way at the start, we want to make sure everybody's tradition revolves around the fact that we love doing carols. Carols is part of what it means to be in Oran Park at Christmas. So with a team of six, and my dad and my father-in-law cooked the sausages, and we put on a carols in Oran Park, and we had 250 people come in that first year, and we've been doing it ever since. And you know, we got rained out last year, but okay, the year before that we had 2,500 people on the oval. And so my thing would be, what's the opportunity, what's the nature of the opportunity in a brand new suburb? People want community. We've got the opportunity, an open door to speak of Jesus. Can I create a community opportunity that celebrates all the points where people are itching but raises the banner of Jesus?
So I'm going to come back in a minute to the topic of what kind of events and why would run open carols or not open carols. But first, let's stay on first principles. And first principles for you, Dave.
In terms of
how you think about Christmas and what do you want to achieve and that kind of thing.
Look, Christmas for us, in terms of those first principles, obviously we want to present Jesus to our community, and it's probably one of the most easiest opportunities for us to do that, because without trying super hard, for our context, people come to church, and so as they come in through the door, we've just got an amazing opportunity to think about who's coming through the door, showing them the gospel and opportunities to interact with them potentially again on another level.
And Jessica, as we've talked about it, the big word has been pathways.
Yeah. I mean, just generally within the realm of mission, we're wanting to be thinking about how do we help people continue to take steps towards Jesus from wherever they're at. And so for me, it's been, I love Christmas because it's that time where you can think of who are all the different contacts that we have in all the different spheres of community around us at Village, and how can we just help them connect in that little bit more, both with our church community, but also to actually hear about Jesus. Kind of like what you were saying, Dave, like people just come because it is that time of year where it is socially acceptable to come and hear a sermon or come and hear a Christmas message or sing Christmas songs that are about Jesus. And so thinking, how can we help people from who we've become really good friends with at playgroup to feel not just part of playgroup but a part of our church community, to recognize a bit more about what we're on about as a church community of, and people who have loved them throughout the year.
So that's to you using Christmas event as the next step in the playgroup pathway.
And then we don't want it to end there. We want to be thinking about what's the next step then beyond Christmas.
So how do you use Christmas on the pathway, Dave?
I think I want to preface this by saying mission is messy. People are messy.
Nobody does exactly what you want them to.
I wish they would. It'd make my life easier. But So we have a whole bunch of things in the lead up to Christmas.
So pre-Christmas, on the what's the pathway pre-Christmas?
For us, we like to almost start our pre-Christmas stuff with celebrating the end of mission stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a baptism Sunday coming up soon to help, I guess, fire people up and go, we want more stories of these people
who remind people that do become Christian.
Yeah, they do become Christian. There's an end result, and we want to celebrate that strongly. And then it's all about raising awareness of Christmas services. So we're letterbox dropping, door knocking, in schools, giving out cards about this is what we want,
mm-hmm.
you know, people to come at our Christmas services. This year we're trialling having a stall at our local shopping centre for the week leading up to Christmas.
Right.
To encourage people to...
Carlingford Court's a big shopping centre.
It's not in Carlingford Court. Ooh. They said no. It's in North...
Down on them.
No. It's at Northrog Shopping Centre. They said yes, and the price was dirt cheap. And so we'll be there raising awareness. We're here because the research tells us that most people don't know their local church.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that we exist. So the more things we can be on the front foot. So
that's contextualising in the same kind of way that, Stuart, you were talking about before.
Yeah. And so we'll give that a crack.
Yeah, that's really good. So one of the things you asked, Dominic, what's your foundation stuff? So I think in Colossians it says to make the most of every opportunity.
Yep.
And I guess part of that framework thinking is, what's the nature of the Christmas opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the Christmas opportunity for me is we're free to speak about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, I think, the only time in the year we're free to speak about Jesus. It's a family time. That plays to our strong suits as churches, so that's good. There is a community hangover that they expect churches will do something at Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we have good news to share. And so this is kind of all set up for us. Easter is more, you know, we're going to tell you the bad news and then get to the good news. Christmas is just, it's a good news story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're set up really well to make the most of that opportunity. If we see what's God given us in our community, in the heritage of what we have, let's make the most of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing to say is the nature, make the most of every opportunity, right, isn't the same as make every opportunity the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually don't think many people come to carols, for instance, or even necessarily our Christmas services to make a decision for Jesus.
No.
Repenting
yes.
in
no.
sackcloth and ashes. Gee, unless we've had converts from Christmas, we haven't done it right. And so that's why I just want to say what these guys are thinking about. Pathway is so key. I reckon we can do great work at Christmas, but we shouldn't be disappointed if we don't see those commitments at a Christmas service.
So how does it change how you think about the event, whether it's a gingerbread event or a carols in the park or whatever it is, if you're seeing it as a first date step, what's the outcome you're looking for from that event? Yeah.
So we talk about four C's at New Life: connect, care, communicate, commit. That's how we give the message of New Life. And so we'd say our Christmas activities are three C activities. We're going to connect with people, we're going to care for them, and we're going to communicate clearly about Jesus. But we're not aiming for the fourth C. And so we actually tell people explicitly inside who know that language, we say these are three C activities. So you hear Jesus clearly proclaimed, we're going to care for people, we're going to create a great environment, we're going to connect with a whole bunch of people who don't normally cross our threshold. That's what we're aiming to do at Christmas. And if we can, in that environment, give them a next step, all to the good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about for you, Jess? How do you think about it?
Yeah, I think one of the strengths for us at Christmas is it is that time of really raising awareness and connecting with people in a way that they think, yeah, I like it here. I want to come back. And so being able to capitalise on Christmas to get people coming along in January, where we get so many newcomers in January. And so if we can kind of raise our profile at Christmas and invite people to come back at January, I don't know, maybe they kind of have that New Year's thing, oh, I'm going to reconnect with my faith this year, or I'm going to get up and go to church this morning. Just having already built that relationship and that connection, as you were saying, over Christmas time, just kind of helps people along that path towards then perhaps starting to consider Jesus a bit more to the point where they may come to Introducing God or come along to our January series where they'll hear the gospel really clearly and be challenged a little bit more there. So for us, it's really quite a big raising awareness thing. So we do a lot out the front where people can see us.
Yeah.
We do the letterboxing thing, just whatever we can do to help connect with as many people as we can in that really warm, positive way. We're really clear on the gospel at Gingerbread, and people love it. Like, they love the event. It books out every year. We do gingerbread and wreath making, and it sells out. And every year people think, I'm going to bring my work colleagues to this. And we're not shy on the gospel, which is great.
What we've worked out is the point of sale, if you like, is we play the Introducing God promo video and then we have a short talk. But the next step is come to the course that starts on the 10th of January. Do you know, not make a decision tonight after 4-minute presentation when you're really focused on cake. Do you know?
And we've had people that have come 8 years in a row that know members of our church now when they walk down the street because they saw them serving at gingerbread. And that's really cool.
And that's part of the messiness. Like it might take them 8 years to take the next step, you know, and some people are keen and they want to take another step really quickly. Others might be keen 6 months down the track, but is that first initial positive experience, trying to get that second one at some point. But I think the more I've sort of worked in here, that the expectation, I think, management of myself is to go, it's okay if we can have an ongoing conversation, but they don't necessarily follow my pathway as quickly as I'd like them to follow my pathway.
Now, strength and weaknesses of different events in different contexts. You haven't got a big outdoor carols and you have. Why not have an arm wrestle for us? Well, Jess, you can join. You haven't got an outdoor carols either. You can arm wrestle as well.
We go half-half.
I look forward to losing with the two of you on good form. But, so our reflection was it's a free kick, essentially, to plug into all the things that our community is about but don't have opportunity to do, right? So the biggest other probably large community event that happens is maybe the awards day for the soccer club, which happens to be on a Sunday, much to my chagrin. But we get a much bigger crowd than that because our community is crying out for an experience of our community.
Experience of togetherness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. To see one another in a big sense. And wonderfully under God, we just got on the front end of that. And so, you know, we go all in. And so what that means is we have a massive stage.
And you control it.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. I wasn't going to be second to the party. Someone will always fill that space in some way or another. So Santa doesn't visit, but I read most of Luke 2. And do you know what I mean? Like, so, and I have an explicit gospel conversation. And because of our location, I mean, this is really great. We're very well situated. There's an oval, and then on the hill immediately behind the oval is our church with a huge glass tower that illuminates at night, right? And so I say, hey, guys, we're having a great time. Just want you to know we're your local church. Come and join us on Sunday.
That's very helpful. The step from the park to the church is actually as small as it can be.
It absolutely is, literally across the road, and most people are parked on our grass or in our car park to get across to the...
Yep.
So now, look, again, that's unique, right? So it's not an endorsement of carols is the way to go.
Well, carols in the park is the way to go.
Exactly. And so I'd say we're really just maximising a whole bunch of very local things about the nature of our community, about our physical location, and just about the opportunity that a new suburb provides.
So, why do carols in the building then, not outside?
So you don't get rained on.
So we used to, probably 20 plus years ago, have a big outdoor thing. We've got an oval right next door to St. Paul's. You'd get the semi-trailer, back it in, and it was sort of, very, very large. For us, I guess where we're up to right now is we've got a brand new building. The community's seen us build it.
Yep.
We want to maximise that opportunity for where we are now in terms of getting people actually into the building. And I think too,
if you can get them inside the building, that's a big step.
Yeah. Look, I think especially for our community with a high Asian population, there's a mystery to the church door. You know, what actually goes on sort of behind there? And if you can help people cross that threshold, even just to come in and meet some people, that's a huge step for them. And I guess in the carol space, we've got two relatively large carols very close by.
Sure.
That sort of draw people into themselves. And we had one of our congregations, the North Rocks one, doing a thing with the other North Rocks churches, but we didn't control it. So Santa did come, and nobody came to listen to anything. It was a social event. Yep. You know, with something happening at the front. And so we're sort of pulled back out of that now to sort of focus in on just making sure our Christmas services fly.
How do you go with that? I mean, my experience of the outdoor thing has been nobody pays attention.
Yep.
Do you know
okay. that? I work really hard on that. So yep. what I do is, don't tell our kids, but I hide four props around the site. And then when it comes to my talk, what I say to the kids is, kids, there are four things that shouldn't be here somewhere on the site. And so they go crazy, running all over the place. And then they come up to the stage holding the four things that I put, maybe one at the top of the climbing wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kids come down and then they're standing on stage. I interview all the kids, say who they are, ask them what they've got. And then I use a four-point talk based on the physical objects that yeah. the kids of the people in the crowd
yeah.
That they're holding.
Okay.
And so that message. It's
yeah.
really, it's 4 points, it's engaging, it's as low entry as I can make it. It's fun, but I
yeah.
don't pull any punches when it comes to the gospel.
That's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Now, as we said, we go halfway. We're fence sitters on this. We do a little carols out on the front. We can't call it a lawn, but it's the front area
sure.
of the church. So we've got one in a few weeks' time. Don't tell us your four props for this year.
Sure.
What were your four props for last year? Then we can pinch them.
I actually can't remember last year. Oh, because we were inside.
You had big rain last year, didn't you?
It was nowhere and now here. And what basically I did was I had a no and a here and a W, and I got them to move together like this. So some people will think that God is nowhere. And then I want you to see that God is now here.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Do you see those
nice.
Words?
Yeah.
So I got the kid with the W to move it to the now part, to the no part. So it read N-O-W, now.
Oh, so there were letters.
Here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you
they're holding up signs, basically.
Right.
And so one said no, the other one said here, and the other one was a W. And I said, some people think that God is nowhere,
mm-hmm.
but Christmas is all about the fact that God is now here.
Right.
And that was really that. There's
yeah.
2 points
yeah.
in that
yeah.
one. The other one yeah. before that, I had four arrows. And so I had an up, a down, and a cross, and a cross. And I basically just talked about the different ways, you know, is God watching us from above? Has he departed and left us? Is God found in our friends over here? So basically I just used the arrows to tell the story, and then I put them all together and made them into a cross.
Great.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
What do you, as the mission pastors, agitate for on your staff teams that the various services should include, and things you want to say, let's make sure we're not doing this?
Mm.
Yeah. It obviously depends on which service you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for us, Christmas Eve, we're shooting for no more than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Our Christmas Eve service, or 6 p.m. specifically, is child-focused. The kids do a play. It's an engaging talk, a bit like Stu does
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, prop heavy.
And look, we've got a Pastor's Heart discussion group. I'd love people to go to that group on Facebook and tell us their sermon outlines
sure.
for
great.
Kids' talks and Christmas events.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could, that'd be really helpful.
There are people out there who are brilliant at it. And it sounds like Stu's one of them. But just to be able to sort of use those creatives well. People can also come to sing carols.
Mm.
Good
yes.
music is essential.
Yep.
Please don't put your D-grade music team on for Christmas services. People come to sing and they want to sing.
And they want it to be loud and rousing.
Absolutely. This is time to get your big brass bands out, you know, get the trumpet out there.
Because when else do you do that?
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
Know,
you don't get a chance
to
do
together.
It. So.
Yeah. It's got to be songs that they know.
Yeah,
and there are people not to have on the AV sound system that week.
Yeah. Put your best foot forward. The community's there. Work hard to get your best people in the right places.
Mm. Jess?
I always love to have a testimony of
mm-hmm.
someone who's recently come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of, again, it's still thinking, you know, for all the people who are coming along who might be considering Jesus and what it could look like for them to start to go on that journey of getting to know who God is, who's someone who's recently done that, who's just a few steps ahead, what's it been like for them?
Mm.
Was it scary? Was it, you know, how did they go about doing that journey? Just to model.
And our best ones have been the family who came at Christmas last year.
That's brilliant if you got
and have come to trust Jesus this year, and now this is the first Christmas that actually means something for them.
Yeah. We had had a lady share that last year, actually, and it was just so lovely to say, for her to say, this is my first Christmas as a Christian, and it means this to me. And that was a really cool thing to share.
There are other times to get the person who grew up Christian to give their story. But on Christmas Day, I want to hear the adults making a change story.
So I'm looking for the person who will, the non-church person, the person who's coming on Christmas time who doesn't know Jesus, who will be able to speak to them and encourage them to get to know him.
Yeah. One of the lines I think of is that line in Paul, pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should.
Yeah.
And so I say to the staff team, this is one of the moments where the congregation hopefully have been reading Paul, hopefully know this is one we want to say, we're going to proclaim it clearly as I should. What are we looking for? Repentance and faith. As the theological outcomes, how do we get repentance? Preach Jesus is Lord. How do we get faith? Preach Jesus is Saviour. So I'm looking for Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Saviour with the outcome of repentance and faith. But I'm trying to do it from a passage or a place that they wouldn't expect. What are some of the passages and places that have worked for you? I mean, obviously there's the birth narratives, but where's the wouldn't expects?
It's a great question. I'm just trying to think. I think, Dominic, I've done, because I've thought of the people who are present are people who will be familiar with at least the idea of the birth narratives, I've tried to show them the birth narratives afresh. So did the shepherds hold hands with the three kings? Were there three kings? So I almost like to kind of go, this is the story. This is the story as you've imagined it, or maybe you've seen it, you know, on The Simpsons, some low character thing. But I want to show you, this is actually what the text says. Come and look at it afresh, and let's think about what it means then in your world. So I don't know that I've gone as left field as I could, although I'm still yet to write my messages this week. So I'll keep listening to what these guys say.
Jessica?
I think I can't think of any particular passages, but I think one of the things that is key for me with the message at Christmas time is to want to keep people coming back to explore more. So putting it forward, obviously repentance and faith is the outcome that you would love for people at Christmas time. But if we're thinking, actually, my next step that I hope for them is that they'll keep exploring
repentance and faith looks like. It's the theological idea, but with the application of come back.
Yeah, that's right. So come back in, and that's why January is really important for having something that those people who are starting to think of, actually, what would it look like for me to trust Jesus? What would it look like for me to turn to him in repentance? Come in January and find out a bit more of what this is about.
Now, what's context work for you guys like in January? Because for us, we get double the number of visitors in January compared to any other month of the year. And the visitors we get in January have the potential of staying. Do you know, and so many churches, they put their worst foot forward in January. Is it the same in your context? Or
Same for us. We have... we have a lot of people, tire kickers, New Year's resolution people, who come through the door in January, or they've moved into the area looking for a local church, and you know they're making assessments as they sort of come in January. So we have worked hard in the January space. The week after Christmas is low, but from the week after that, things pick up in terms of who's actually around and new people. And we've made mistakes in the past and learned, I think, from them in terms of who's actually around. And so now it is a key time for us in terms of who's around. And we also do a bit of a nudge to our own people to go, it's good for you to be around too. And rather than perhaps go on mission somewhere else, stay, do mission with us.
Stuart? It's predominantly young families and retirees, and we see a relative exodus at straight after Christmas. And then obviously as everything comes back and heads towards school time, we'll see that warm up. So I haven't gone all in on that straight after Christmas period. and happy to evaluate that. As I think as the suburb matures, we'll head more towards what you guys are speaking about.
I mean, and it could be to do with inner city and stuff.
Well, no, like absolutely. That. But I actually think there's a fair exodus because young families will not want to stay where it's 40 degrees at home if they can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fair flight out of the otherwise beautiful southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas for us, I think people move to the inner west in January-ish, the back half of January particularly, because they're starting uni or they're starting work or they're starting something like that in the new year. So, yeah, maybe we get a few people from your way.
You can send them back to New Life.
One of my other hobby horses is churches leaving their websites and Christmas signage up. Stuart.
Yeah, I know. I feel very passionately about this. It's a classic case of, our public space, our public billboard looks abandoned when it's there 2 weeks after Christmas. In fact, when it's there in February and I see someone's website and I'm just like, come on, guys. It's grass that's overgrown on the front lawn, which you'd never let happen in your physical church, but it is in your virtual church. And so I think that's essentially just – I'm with you, Dominic. Take it down.
So I worked on the radio, and on the radio station we had a policy of, on Christmas Day, of playing all Christmas music till midday and then back to normal format at midday.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And so I've taken that over into the ministry, and I think last thing I do when I leave the place on Christmas is to change the website.
And put the lights off and change the website.
Or make sure that that's happened.
Yeah. I think that's
because, and I want people who check out our website on Boxing Day to see that it's freshly pointing to what's happening in January. Yeah.
And that goes for Facebook as well, obviously, and all that sort of stuff, which is far more live.
And I did a drive from Sydney to Adelaide one year in the Christmas New Year week. And just as I went through every country town, almost every country town was still advertising. I just said, we're asleep, we're closed, we're turned off, you know, which church am I going to? The church that looks like it's going to make a fuss of me, do you know?
And I think that plays into people's perceptions that the church is dead anyway. And so I think anything we can do...
You've got to fight counterculturally.
You've got to combat it, actually, and, intentionally work to put those things in place. Someone has to do it. Everyone's like, you'll do it, and then no one does it.
That's
why Dominic
does it.
That's why Dominic does it.
I'm pretty sure you didn't do it last year. Yeah. The last thing we do is Christmas lunch, and then that usually finishes around 2 o'clock. It's lots of people from the community come, different members from our church, and then after that we pack it down.
Now, tell us about Christmas lunch, because that's actually something that you've driven the last couple of years, Jess.
It's been really cool, actually. We've got a number of contacts within our church community who've come for Christmas lunch many years in a row, and bit by bit they're getting warmer. Like, that's been a real long a long game thing. Although we have seen the joy of a few people come and experience the love of a community at a time when they'd otherwise be on their own.
Mm.
And we've seen a couple people come to know Jesus, and it has been a bit by bit process.
We discovered an extraordinary high number of single dwellers in our community.
We call them village orphans.
And really, in terms of contextualising, I mean, this is a wealthy district, but a lonely district, and a lot of people having Christmas. We guessed there were a lot of people having Christmas lunch on their own, and it's turned out to be the case.
And we don't pitch it as this is the lunch for people who don't have friends, or this is the lunch for people who can't afford anything. Like, it's not a financial problem, it's a loneliness issue. It's a special lunch, and it's even just that your family lives in Queensland and you can't make it back for Christmas because you've got work tomorrow. Come and celebrate with us. So it's definitely not, we're really trying to push away from don't come and have lunch with us because we pity you. Come and have lunch because we just love your company. I'll be there because I've got a huge family, but they've all got different things that they do on. So my family does nothing on Christmas Day. So what do I do? Yeah. I'm there at lunch.
That's really cool. We're actually trialling a brunch for the first time this year. So not lunch, but brunch. So it goes straight on from the 9 a.m. service straight into a brunch. And so our pitch will be bring your family and then join our family to have brunch together.
I really like that,
And because we've got a whole bunch of migrants, again, thinking very specifically about our location, people whose families are overseas, maybe they're Christians, but they don't have Christian family here, we're saying, we're giving it a shot. I honestly have no idea what will happen, right?
Yeah.
But we've just said we want to create a space where you can do Christmas with your community. And it'll follow straight on for the morning service because we figured coming back would be disastrous.
Yeah.
So we've called it brunch, lowers the bar of expectation in terms of what we have to provide, and we're going to give that a shot. I honestly have no idea.
Yep. Let's bounce over to migrant community with you, Dave. What are your thoughts
there? Yeah, sure.
Christmas and migrants.
Yeah. So we have a fairly high migrant community, especially an Asian community, that populates Carlingford and North Rocks. And our Mandarin service, they have a Christmas day, and so they kick off at about 11-ish, 11:15, but they do lunch afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's been a great success for them in terms of gathering that community. It's, you know, they thrive on community around food, and so they work pretty hard to sort of make that a special occasion for them, and they've sort of got the run of the building. All the Anglos want to get out because I've got to get to here and I've got to go to there. You know, they've got three or four commitments. Yep. They want to get out quickly, but other people genuinely have nowhere to go.
Yep.
And they're curious about the Christian message, and it's an easy way to get them into the door.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's been working pretty well. Yeah.
Thanks for coming and talking to us, guys.
No worries.
Thanks,
Stuart Starr has been my guest, along with Jessica Brower and David Kuhn, and we've been talking about how to maximise the most out of Christmas at your church this year. Now, next week on The Pastor's Heart, next Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Rowan Kemp and Jeff Folland, two of the Christian leaders at the University of Sydney, and they've just had a survey commissioned at Sydney University about the difference that faith-based groups make to your life on campus, and discovered that actually the uni students who are involved in a faith group have much, much, much better university campus experiences than the students who aren't involved in faith groups. And I think that research is going to have some significant implications down the track as it comes out and becomes more widely known. The report's only been released in the last couple of days, and two of the men who commissioned it are going to be joining us to talk about it next week on The Pastor's Heart.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.